9. After walking for a while, he began to come out of this unhappy daze and take some notice of his surroundings. He was standing on the corner of Lexington Avenue and 54th Street with no memory at all of how he had come to be there. He noticed for the first time that it was an absolutely gorgeous morning. May 9th, the day this madness had started, had been pretty, but today was 10 times better. That day, perhaps, when spring looks around herself and sees summer standing nearby, strong and handsome and with a cocky grin on his tanned face. The sun shone brightly off the glass walls of the midtown buildings. The shadow of each pedestrian was black and crisp. The sky overhead was a clear and blameless blue, dotted here and there with plump, foul-weather clouds. Down the street, two businessmen in expensive, well-cut suits were standing at a board wall which had been erected around a construction site. They were laughing and passing something back and forth. Jake walked in their direction, curious, and as he drew closer, he saw that the two businessmen were playing tic-tac-toe on the wall, using an expensive Mark Cross pen to draw the grids and make the X's and O's. Jake thought this was a complete gas. As he approached, one of them made an O in the upper right-hand corner of the grid and then slashed a diagonal line through the middle. "Skunked again," his friend said. Then this man, who looked like a high-powered executive or lawyer or big-time stockbroker, took the Mark Cross pen and drew another grid. The first businessman, the winner, glanced to his left and saw Jake. He smiled.
"Someday, huh, kid?"
"It sure is," Jake said, delighted to find he meant every word.
"Too nice for school, huh?"
This time Jake actually laughed. Piper's school, where you had outs instead of lunch, and where you sometimes stepped out but never had to take a crap, suddenly seemed far away and not at all important.
"You know it. You want a game? Billy here couldn't beat me at this when we were in the fifth grade, and he still can't."
"Leave the kid alone," the second businessman said, holding out the Mark Cross pen. "This time you're history." He winked at Jake, and Jake amazed himself by winking back. He walked on, leaving the men to their game. The sense that something totally wonderful was going to happen, had perhaps already begun to happen, continued to grow, and his feet no longer seemed to be quite touching the pavement. The walk light on the corner came on, and he began to cross Lexington Avenue. He stopped in the middle of the street so suddenly that a messenger boy on a 10-speed bike almost ran him down. It was a beautiful spring day, agreed, but that wasn't why he felt so good, so suddenly aware of everything that was going on around him, so sure that some great thing was about to occur. The voices had stopped. They weren't gone for good, he somehow knew this, but for the time being they had stopped. Why? Jake suddenly thought of two men arguing in a room. They sit facing each other over a table, jawing at each other with increasing bitterness. After a while, they begin to lean toward each other, thrusting their faces pugnaciously forward, bathing each other with a fine mist of outraged spittle. Soon they will come to blows. But before that can happen, they hear a steady thumping noise, the sound of a bass drum, and then a jaunty flourish of brass. The two men stop arguing and look at each other, puzzled. "What's that?" one asks. "Dunno," the other replies. "Sounds like a parade." They rush to the window, and it is a parade. A uniformed band marching in lockstep with the sun blazing off their horns, pretty majorettes twirling batons and strutting their long tanned legs, convertibles decked with flowers and filled with waving celebrities. The two men stare out the window, their quarrel forgotten. They will undoubtedly return to it, but for the time being they stand together like the best of friends, shoulder to shoulder, watching as the parade goes by.